Welcome to episode 413 of Fly Away. Over the past few years, we've been reminded time and again how much the world relies on travel. From supporting local economies to learning about new cultures, the experience that travel provides helps to make our world smaller and bring us closer together. Here at Outlander Travel, we've been proud to be a small part of bringing that to you through our weekly podcast. My name is Elizabeth, and this week I am joined by fellow Outlander Travel agents Sandy and Donna. Disneyland is, as the saying goes, the happiest place on earth. So what happens when you let 12 Outlanderians and about 500 other agents and suppliers descend on Disneyland for a week of conference time and fun? Well, we are about to tell you. So let's get started. You could tell that I just came back from a week at a conference because I sound like Kim Carnes. I sound like I'm going to sing some Betty Davis eyes right now. I'm not sick. I just don't have a voice. And it's funny because when I was a kid, I always used to lose my voice and then I stopped talking very much. So I don't do it very often, but
you're on tonight.
Definitely feeling it. So where shall we start? We decided to just make this a bit of a free for all. So basically the summary is we were going for a conference. Some of us went early. I think most of us went early. Some of us stayed a little bit late. Yes. To make sure we got some park time, because when you go to a conference, you work 12 hours a day, even if it's fun work, you work a lot. So I think we can talk a little bit about Disneyland. We could talk a little bit about Universal Hollywood. There's no YouTube recording, so you can't see my family closing the door because they're like, I don't want to hear about it. We could talk a little bit about the conference itself, although obviously that's kind of boring to most of our listeners. So where would you like to start? You want to start with Disneyland proper?
Yeah, let's do Disneyland, California Adventure, and then Universal.
Yeah, let's touch on Universal. We're going to do another episode on Universal later. I'd like to do like a whole episode on that. So actually, maybe we'll just leave that out. Forget we said Universal.
Forget it. We didn't go anywhere else. We didn't see the Pope. We didn't do any of that.
We'll talk about that later. Yeah. So let's start with California Adventure. Let's lead into Disneyland. So Disneyland as a theme park area has three sections. It has Disneyland, California Adventure, and Downtown Disney. So we're going to start with Disney's California Adventure, which is one of the two theme parks there. So how do you summarize Disney's California Adventure?
The funnest park.
I think it's definitely all the newer stuff that Disney has come out with, Pixar and the Avengers.
And although Star Wars is over at Disneyland here, so that's important.
Well, but Star Wars started in 1977, so
that was unnecessary, Donna. We do not need to talk about how old Star Wars is. So this park actually opened in 2001, February 1st, as a matter of fact, 2001, because I was there on the first anniversary. That's how I know that. And when it opened, it was a park dedicated to California. Like, it was literally a park about California. So Pixar Pier was Paradise Pier, and, you know, was sort of a more of a boardwalk kind of, you know, what's the big pier? Santa Monica Pier, is that right?
With the big Ferris
wheel. And then Soarin' Out Over California was born there. That is now Soarin' Over the World, but it was originally Soarin' Over California. The old Little Mermaid ride.
I was actually surprised that they had changed it, because I thought they had originally kept it as California because it was at California Adventure. So that actually surprised me.
Yeah, they changed it. I was hoping they would keep it, but they changed it at the same time. So, yeah.
Yeah. So I loved the Avengers campus, and the Web Slinger ride was awesome. That was so much fun.
I felt very successful on that ride.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. I mean, like, Buzz Lightyear is the oldest of those sort of shoot 'em ups at the Disney parks. And that one is really hard to do. And then Toy Story does involve some skill, Toy Story Midway Mania. This one, I just felt like you could throw your arms out there and you would catch some spider bots.
It did feel like a workout when you're really flinging your arms around.
Oh yeah, my arms were a little sore after that.
I think my watch thought that I was getting like 1,000 steps on that ride. Yeah. And my heart rate was like, exercising. Look at that. Yeah. But that was a really cool ride. I really, really liked that ride. Go ahead. Well, I was going to say they have all the characters walking around too. Loki. Yes. And oh my gosh, it's so cool.
Yeah, so I didn't watching, see. I was watching the Guardians of the Galaxy having a dance off, which was pretty cool. And then they also had the Wakanda cool. guards, and they were really trying to like rouse up the audience. It was pretty cool.
I didn't see any of those. I missed them. I did see Doctor Strange. And I saw, I've seen Wasp like 3 times. Like every time I go, I've only been there twice, and it's always Wasp. I don't know why. But it is, it does seem like a really large area that could be used for more, but obviously they're going to put more there. So it's just a matter of time. Yeah. But I think the photo ops are really great. I did a little superhero pose in the middle of the A of the Avengers campus there. It's there's some great photo opportunities, not just with the characters, but just with the things that are around it. And Pim's, the food, I was really looking forward to that a lot. The food is cute. It isn't the tastiest food on property, but I love the idea of like really big things and really little things, like the littlest tiny eggs for breakfast, like teeny little eggs. So very cool.
I will say, okay, so if we're talking about like East Coast versus West Coast, one of the things I missed about East Coast parks is how easy it is to walk up anywhere and get a drink. Like, if you want a beer, you can have a beer. This was harder. It was crowded. I know there's a lot of like locals that go to this. And, you know, we were there during the Halloween season, so lots of crowds for that in general. But it wasn't easy to just walk up and get a beer. And a lot of places you had to mobile order and then like, okay, you can have a beer in an hour.
Yeah. So, I was surprised that the mobile order windows weren't a little bit more open. I do think we were there on weekend though. Our conference was Tuesday through Thursday. So like I was there on a Sunday. I don't know if, and then we went to another park on Monday, but we were at Disney on Sunday, and I know that a lot of locals go on Sunday.
I went afterwards, and it was still the same, even on like Thursday night and Friday.
I went Wednesday night, and that was the night I couldn't get a beer.
Yes.
I mean, I did get one, but just one. And for some reason, I still had a headache that night, and I was like, why do I have a headache? Because I did not drink that much. Yeah, I had one beer. But that's just an aside. I mean, I really do love it.
The other way around, Sandy.
I know, right?
When you drink too much.
You might have been a little dehydrated. Yeah, I do. I think that the, and we can do a whole episode on East versus West as far as, you know, Disneyland versus Walt Disney World, because there's huge differences. For me, the size of these parks as a 51-year-old woman of size, I love it. I can actually finish the day and my feet are not like completely dead. Like I can do it on just maybe 2 Advil. As opposed to Walt Disney World, which is like a 6 Advil an hour kind of day. So it's, I mean, the ability to move around the park so easily and get from place to place, crowds aside, but distance wise.
Park hopping is such a breeze. So easy. Yeah. I mean, I always recommend people park hop there. I mean, I don't care how young your kids are. It's just too easy. You know, it's too easy to go back and forth.
It is literally across a walkway. And I think that still amazes people when they see it. You tell them that, and then they get there and like it literally, the 2 ticket turnstile gateways are facing each other across a big area of cement. It's really
smaller than a football field.
So it's very, very easy. And it does make it super easy to also then spend a little bit of time in one park and a little bit of time in another and get 2 totally different feels for the day. You know, you could have one whole thrill ride day and do all the thrill rides in both parks. And then you could have one more laid back day and do, you know, some of the more laid back kind of rides in each park. So, you know, we talked about Web Slingers, which is the newest at the Avengers campus. We didn't talk about the shawarma stand, which by the way, gets pretty good reviews, although it's not authentic shawarma by any stretch of the imagination. I think it's a little bit warmed over for various tastes and food allergies, but Guardians of the Galaxy there. I love that redo of Tower of Terror. And, you know, Disney purists will bitch about it and moan about it. I love it. It's fantastic.
Did you do it with the Monsters After Dark?
See, I did both. No. I did both. And this
so
is
so cool.
This is interesting. So I did the first, the regular Guardians of the Galaxy. I sat in the front and it was a nice ride and everything. I enjoyed it. It was very enjoyable. I did the Monsters After Dark. Afterwards, I think the drops were a little rougher. And I was also sitting in a different place. So there may be some of that. But it was definitely more of a thrill after dark than it was before dark.
When I wrote it, I did like the Lightning Lane, but my did Genie Plus Lightning Lane, but my friend that, well, yeah, my friend I was with didn't want to ride it. So I wrote it by myself. And it was full of locals who started screaming the song the minute it started. I mean, it was cool. It's such a cool experience there. So, it was
really- so Monsters After Dark, is that part of the Oogie Boogie only, or is that something that they just do after dark?
It's not during Oogie Boogie, but it might be a Halloween time thing. Yes. Yeah. That might be. But yeah, I mean, it was just a different storyline to it. And I think that's the cool thing about what they've done with that ride, because they can change it up. They can change up the story. Wars. Yeah. I mean, like, it's just changing the movie. Because when you stop and you see things going on, that's pretty easy for them to switch up. And yeah, it was cool.
And it really is different. Cool. It's different even during the day. I mean, you can get a couple of different scenes during the day, too. I mean, the basic storyline is the same. But yeah, I kind of missed the fact that is this a spoiler alert? That the elevator doesn't move forward and backwards anymore. That was kind of a bummer.
Like, I don't know if it did that in California before. Did it always? I don't think it did. Well, I'm sure someone's going to fact check us on this. Yes, exactly. George Rary would tell us right now.
Yeah.
But I think that was one of the differences about it, was that it didn't do that. But having said that, I never wrote it before it was Guardians. So
yeah, I did, but I don't remember. It was a good long time ago, like early 2000s. So yeah. So I think the Avengers campus is a real winner. I mean, I think that there's room there for them to do more. I was bummed because I was actually just there in August with Marcus. And then, I came back, and when I was there with Marcus, he only wanted to ride rides. He didn't want to see any shows. So I thought, oh, I'm going to see all the shows while I'm here. And the Doctor Strange show was down, and that was the show that I really wanted to see. And I didn't get to see it. So,
And I did not do any of the shows.
Yeah.
So I need to go back.
Obviously. Yeah, that's the way it goes. So Pixar Pier, Sandy, did you do the Wheel of Death?
I couldn't get anybody to go on that with me. And I asked everybody, because it's been enough years that I've forgotten how horrible it was. And I was going to do it again.
Nobody's dumb enough to go on it.
No. Nobody would go on
the fixed one, the fixed cars, not the ones that move.
I mean,
I'll tell you, Sandy, Richard and Deborah did it, so they would have gone with you.
Oh, really? Yeah. I wish I'd have known. I'd have made it again.
No, I can't. And for those of us, those who are listening, the Wheel of Death is this really large Ferris wheel with Mickey Mouse smiling from the center that is basically designed to kill you.
It has barf bags in the cabins. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's a puker. But it's, you know, it's cool. I did it a long time ago with that one. More
power to you.
Well, I didn't do it again. I still haven't done it again. It's been about 10 years. But I love the Incredicoaster.
I do too. You know, I think when they said that they were going to redo the Incredicoaster, formerly California Screamin', which is, as far as I know, the only roller coaster, an outdoor roller coaster at a Disney park that goes upside down. So Rock and Roller Coaster goes upside down, but it's inside.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just not something they generally do. Yeah. And it's a great, I mean, it is a great roller coaster. It was before. California Screamin' was a great roller coaster. But they added this storyline to it. And I was like, you know, I do some of these rides sometimes and I cannot pick up on the storyline at all.
Yep.
I totally get this storyline. Even though you're going like 800 miles an hour, you know, I totally get it 100%. Like, it's super clear and
it's
great.
It's done so well with those like tunnels that have stuff to look at, and the speakers are in your head, you know, like, so that, yeah, you can't miss it, really. I mean, it's really good. I love in the beginning when you're about to start and the roller coaster takes off, and then the
flashes
go up. Like, it's like dash running. Dash
running. So cool. Yep.
Yeah, I love that one.
It's a great ride. I honestly, if my stomach could handle it, I would ride it again and again and again and again.
Did you ride the Inside Out ride?
No.
I did.
What did you think of it, Donna? I didn't get to ride it. I saw it, though.
It's definitely, that's the great thing about Pixar Pier, is there are a lot of rides for little ones.
Yeah.
That's where all the little one rides. So my precious stomach handled it just fine.
You do have a precious stomach.
Good to know.
So yeah, it's basically one of the, you've seen them at most amusement parks, the balloons with, and you're in the basket, and that's basically what the Inside Out is.
Okay. It looked like it might spin, but
no, they didn't spin. They just kind of, well, it slowly went around, you know, like swings, but it was slow enough that you didn't get the centrifugal force or anything.
Oh, well, no, I'm sad that I didn't try it, because I think my friend would have liked it. She probably would have done it.
Okay. I don't know, because I usually see it after I do Incredicoaster, and I'm like,
yeah, that one is so slow that it would have been, you would have been okay. So. Yeah.
I actually love that Pixar Pier area. And actually Leah is, she loves a good midway game. And she sat down at a game with a 6-year-old. Of course she beat her. So she ended up giving her the little prize, but it was very sweet of her. But yeah, it's sort of, you know, what do you do? But yeah.
No, you keep the prize. Hello. I don't care if you're six.
If it had been a different prize, she might have kept it, but it was not one she cared very much about. So, that area is just so great. And by the way, I don't know if you guys, did you guys do World of Color, the evening show?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've got a story about that.
Did you notice the lamp over at the Lamplight Lounge on the entrance to Pixar Pier?
No.
When the show starts, it turns and watches the show.
Oh! I did not. Oh my gosh.
Sorry, if I had been with you, I would have told you. Yeah, it'll actually, like, during the day, it'll look around, but when the show starts, it turns and it watches the whole show.
So I had a reservation for Lamplight Pier, but that was the day we went to the other theme park, and my friend went with her niece and a couple other people. Spent a crap ton of money there. they really enjoyed themselves.
Well, I've got a really cool story about that, and this is a little insider tip that I didn't, of course, know, but I just kind of stumbled upon it. I had dinner at the Wine Country Trattoria, and they have a menu. They call it the World of Color menu, and it's a fixed price menu. It is a little pricier, but you get three courses. You get appetizer, entree, and dessert, and with it also comes a ticket to sit on the terrace to watch the World of Color. Now, I had been up since 4 o'clock in the morning, and yes, I got the fixed price dinner, and I fully decided that I was going to go to World of Color, but at 7:30, I ran out of steam.
So
I went home and went to bed, but so I missed it, but I did have a ticket. So it's a really good thing if you want really good seats. That's a great way to do that.
We did it a long time ago where we did a lunch there, but it wasn't like we got to sit on the terrace. We got into one of those group areas.
Yeah.
We did the, what do you call it? The virtual queue, right at lunchtime, you can get into the queue. So it was me and George and my friend Terry and Stacy, Anna, and Kristen, Meg, a bunch of us, right? So basically, we did it right at, we have our tip sheet about how to get in the virtual queue. And so George and me, and I did it, and then I ran and grabbed Terry's phone and did hers because we weren't linked together. And we all got the first show. Everybody else got the second show, and we didn't even realize there was a second show until they tried to get into that area with us. And Kristen and Anna went and did their own thing, but Stacy and Meg actually got the cast member to let them in, and he brought them over to where we were. So we all got to watch it together. But you do have to, Brooke was with us too, and you have to get in. I mean, even though you're in the virtual queue and you have a place, you still have to go stake out your place. You got to go pretty early, pretty much when it opens. You need to just head on over there and sit and be there and wait. But it was worth it. It's really cool.
And that's why you should do the Adventures by Disney Southern California Adventure. But we can do another show on that.
Oh, yeah. We need to do another show on that. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But it was, it was worth it. It was good.
So we've got to march our way across to Disneyland.
Oh, wait, wait.
We missed one place.
Cars Land.
We got to talk about Cars
Land. We are running out of time. I'm trying to rein you guys in.
All right. Oh, let's just let it be said that I rode every ride in Cars Land and it was awesome. I loved it. Yeah.
Okay. Cars Land is great. It's totally great. Again, if we do an episode on the Adventures by Disney, I have a great story about Cars Land to tell you. I got stuck on it, by the way. And so we got to actually, we got stuck right before they do the car wash thing. And so we got to ride it again. Like we got to stay in the car and ride it again. So nice. That was cool. Yeah. We were luckier than some people. The people in front of us had to be evacuated. So yeah. But anyway, moving over to Disneyland, the original
walking park, across the Esplanade,
walking in Walt's footsteps. His apartment is there. It's like, it's where all the action is. So this is basically the west side version of Magic Kingdom, if you're familiar with the east side version. So, but it's the original. It was built first. It's the one. So what did you guys enjoy the most about this park?
Mr. Toad.
I know.
I rode it twice, back to back. I got off it and got right back on. It's like, I love this ride so much. I love Mr. Toad. I miss it.
Can we just say that Disney Genie Plus works a lot better at Disneyland than at Walt Disney World, in my experience. Did you guys find that as well?
Yes. However, it's more expensive there. And, yes. You know, it's easy when it's like just me hanging out with a bunch of friends and we're all buying our own. But I don't know if I would buy it every day for my whole family, even though I feel like you kind of needed it when how crowded it was. And we were working on condensed time because we were going like after the conference that night. We didn't get in there till like 5 or 6. So it definitely made sense for us to buy it. And in Disneyland, it comes with your photo pass pictures.
Yeah, that right there is a cool benefit.
Yeah. I bought it basically as an individual Lightning Lane Thursday night. Some of you guys went more days, but I did some stuff in LA on Saturday. So on Sunday, I did DCA in the morning, Disney's California Adventure, and the Disneyland at night. And then I didn't go back to the park until Thursday night, and I had other things to do. So I basically got into the park and bought Disney Genie Plus, reserved Haunted Mansion for like 11 o'clock. And that was all I bought with it. So it's basically like I bought an individual Lightning Lane for Haunted Mansion.
Yeah, but that was worth it too. I mean, totally.
100%.
Oh my God. Yeah, you got it. You can't go at that time of year and not do Haunted Mansion.
And so why is it worth it, Sandy?
Because they do the Nightmare Before Christmas overlay and they deck out every freaking room. It is amazing.
Yeah.
It's so cool. So cool.
I had just ridden it a month and a half ago, so I had it fresh in my mind. And it's amazing how much stuff they cover up or change it's almost a whole new ride.
In the graveyard, there's not the guy with the dog. It's Jack Skellington with his dog. You know, I mean, it's just every bit of it is so cool. The coffin, when you first go in, has like a gift tag on it that says, do not open till Christmas. It's just so good.
I like the Christmas tree that's in the ballroom. The ghosts are dancing. Like, that is such a cool tree.
And I didn't notice the first time I rode it in the ballroom above the fireplace, there's a big thing of Jack Skellington too, like his big face. And in the stretching room, whenever like the ceiling breaks and then you see Jack's big face, I mean, it's so good.
it's really cool. Yeah, absolutely. Madame Leota is a Christmas ornament. I love it.
Yeah, it has a little guy clanking things behind her. We got stuck in that room for a little bit, so I got some good pictures in there. It was good.
Yeah, that's and then the other big thing for me at Disneyland is Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Which is dinosaur, but cooler.
Yeah.
So same track as dinosaur, you get the Jeeps and things, but then you get to ride through Indiana Jones. And I will say I've gotten stuck on that a few times. I had a flawless ride while I was there this time. It was really, really good.
Knock on wood. I've never gotten stuck on it. I've always had a good adventure on that one.
Yeah. I usually get stuck somewhere where it like totally destroys the storyline for you. You know, like right as the big ball is supposed to be coming down, it's like, it's super lame. But when it works, it's so fun. It's so fun.
So we also, me and my friend Terry, we didn't go with George and them. They went to try to do the early morning half hour that you get when you're staying on property. And they tried to go to Rise of the Resistance, which was not functioning after they waited their whole half hour and they wasted. Anyway, but we were just kind of moseying over there whenever, and we took the monorail straight into Tomorrowland and got on the Nemo submarine ride, which used to be
20,000
leagues. Yeah. So that was cute. I mean, it's been there a while and it's, you know, it's cute. It's really cute. I'm glad I did it again. I really liked it. So that was
Marcus
fun.
Was so mad at me for that because it is a little claustrophobic in there.
Oh, yeah.
He was like, this is not, yeah. His modern eyes were not, you know, when I was a kid, I was totally convinced that I had gone way under the sea.
Even though you stood in line and watched those submarines going around
the sea. I was really short. So yeah, all the bubbles totally fooled me, but of course, little
you just you can't lean too forward in your seat because then you'll see the surface.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that's cool though. But the monorail thing is a big plus if you're staying at Disneyland Resort because it's so much less walking. You're right there. Poof,
yeah, it doesn't really save you time. I think that's a big key because you'll get on it and it seems like it's going to save you time, but then it actually goes through Disneyland Park, which is great because you get to see a lot, but it takes you a long time to get to where you're going. You get let off. So
I think
timing wise, you probably in the park just as fast. You're just in a different part of the park.
So. Right. But it is saving you steps for sure.
Yes. Yeah. Especially if you want to go straight to Space Mountain or something like that.
Yeah.
It lets you off in Tomorrowland.
Which I did not do Space Mountain. I did do Thunder Mountain, Big Thunder Mountain twice. I didn't do Splash Mountain. I don't know. I mean, another thing I will say is we were there during Halloween and both parks are decked out and it's amazing what they do for Halloween there. Very cool.
Yeah, I agree. And then we stayed at the Disneyland Hotel, which I think is, to me, people talk about Grand Californian, and yes, it is super convenient. And there were certainly many times where I walked past where you would go in for Grand Californian. I was like, I got to walk farther. But I love that. I love that hotel. I love it. I love the slide at the pool. I love Trader Sam's. I love the rooms. I love all of it.
I wish they had more dining and drinking options.
Yes.
I was really... I'm not happy that I couldn't just walk up and get a beer anywhere I wanted.
Yes, I agree. There's very little alcohol. There's only two places you can drink at Disneyland. Blue Bayou and what's the other one? Oga's.
Yeah, Oga's. I don't even try to drink in Disneyland. I knew I'd have to be sitting down at a restaurant, but like, and yeah, I guess, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, like Disney Springs, you can buy drinks and walk around, you know, like it's interesting. I wonder if it's a California thing. Must be, you know, maybe, I don't know, but yeah.
Well, that's the thing that I noticed also is that there was a line everywhere.
Yes.
Some of the kiosks and everything always had like 10, 20 people in line.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, when you're at Disney World, I mean, you can just usually, there's like two or three people, you know, just to get a Mickey
bar.
There was
pizza. More. I don't know. I mean, it is smaller. It feels tighter. When it's crowded, you know it. It was busy the night side. I mean, I went on Wednesday night.
The queue for Pirates of the Caribbean always kills me. It's like, this queue is ridiculous. It's hard to find the beginning of it. Or the end of it, rather. And it like weaves in and out and under
and
a bridge.
All the lines are outside. You know, like.
Yeah.
Once you get in, you're almost on. For all
like it, it's a small world. Yes, and that's. I was actually a little surprised about that, but how everything was outside.
Yeah,
Space Mountain too. Well, remember the weather is really nice there. You know, in Florida, it's hot, muggy, and it rains a lot. But in Los Angeles, it's just hot.
I mean, look what they did in Florida. Yeah, I know. We'll save it for the East Coast, West Coast. But so Elizabeth, I want to talk to you about the thing you did when we were all standing in line on Thursday night after the conference. So you crossed something off my bucket list, which I still need to do now. So tell us about Club 33.
Well, it was on my bucket list too, for the record, and I didn't think I would ever do it. Like, it was not something that I ever in a million years thought that I would get to do. But our good friends over at Hard Travel, who we're not getting a plug to, don't go book travel with them.
They'll just send you back to us.
invited me along. He had a spot open up and he said, do you want to go? I was like, yes.
Yeah.
And so I got to enter the most exclusive club at Disneyland. And one might argue at Disney World too. I mean, there is a Club 33 at Disney World too, but it's not as old and not as... historically significant. This is a club that Walt Disney himself came up with. There's art that in that area that he purchased himself. And some of it is really priceless. It is a restaurant and a lounge, and it is an exclusive membership club, think country club. But it is for the parks. The perks are not disclosed to the general public. Mm-hmm. But it has a hidden door. It's not that hidden. You can find it pretty easily, because it's the address basically of the restaurant. But there is a doorbell there, and you are let in, and you literally leave the loud, boisterous area of New Orleans Square, and you are let into this completely whisper quiet area. I mean, like, I was blown away by how quiet it was. I don't know what they've done to it over the years to improve the soundproofing, because I can't believe that in 1955, or it wasn't 1955 when it was built, but soon after, that the soundproofing was that good.
Yeah, but it probably wasn't that crowded at Disneyland.
Like, no, right. Yeah. But again, you know, to know that there are thousands of people milling around downstairs and you can't hear it at all. So you are let into, they did allow pictures, which I think is a new thing. They said no video, but they did allow pictures. And not to be ungrateful, but we had a wonderful dinner there, but the bar was by far the coolest space. And I would have liked to have just stayed in the bar the whole time. We didn't go into the bar really at all, except for as like a little bit of a tour, just, you know, here it is. But there's like animated art on the walls. There's just, it's very cool. It sort of has almost a Haunted Mansion vibe to it. Definitely very New Orleans. So think like the Haunted Mansion is sort of that ghost, the ghost story of New Orleans kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then it's a very classy, multi-course meal. It was a three course meal. I feel like maybe it was four, but I think it was only three. An exclusive cocktail list. They have seasonal cocktails, and then they have their standard cocktails. They had two pages of mocktails. So really something for everyone.
Were there children in there?
Nope. Not that I saw, but I don't think there's anything against having children there, but I don't know. Because if you're a member, I think you can sort of bring whoever you want.
Okay.
The photography rule was no pictures in the bathrooms, which is a shame because the bathroom is gorgeous, but also, and no pictures of celebrities. And I think those two things tie together. I took pictures. I'm not posting them because I have no idea if there were celebrities in my pictures or not, because I never recognized them. I don't think there were. It was just glorious. The service was impeccable. I will say, was it the best meal I've ever had? No, but I've had some extraordinary meals. Like, I've been very fortunate in my life. Was it one of the top meals I've had? Yes, absolutely. But it was very, very good. But I think it's the best meal you could get at Disneyland for sure. And you could get booze. So that was nice. We had some wine. Like I said, I had a cocktail that had absinthe in it. Again, California, yay. Things are legal there that aren't legal anywhere else. So they sort of go with the New Orleans theme there on that. It was an excellent cocktail. Our server was very well-versed in the Disney history there. And then after dinner, you can go out on a balcony there and you can look out over the people, just like as if you were in New Orleans in the French Quarter.
Could you see us? Because we were trying to get you to come out and wave when we were in line for
Pirates.
So
I couldn't see you in particular, but you guys weren't looking at the right place. So I think everybody thinks that the restaurant is right above Pirates of the Caribbean, but it's not. It's actually, if you're looking at Pirates, it's to the right.
Yeah, we were looking over there.
Yeah, I was there. Yeah. I was there. So
I think they were texting you and trying to get you to come.
Yeah, I was out there and I said, you know, I'm here. They're like, we can't see you. But they don't let you stay out there forever. So, you know, you do have to come back in. And then there's merch at the end. You can buy stuff. So I bought a pillow for the office. You'll see it tomorrow. Yay! And an ornament that's beautiful, and a short glass and a keychain. But they had shirts.
Did you buy me something?
You want a keychain?
Yeah, I kind of do.
I actually bought it for Marcus and he didn't want it. So
dibs.
Maybe you should be real nice to me, because I was going to use it for my office keychain, but
maybe I'll use it for my office keychain.
Yeah, so even, I mean, we're not on YouTube anymore, but I have this bag.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And nice. I'm like, I don't feel like I should keep the bag, but at the same time, I do.
Oh,
feel
I'd
like
keep the bag. Yeah, I would keep the bag for sure.
I feel like it's the sort of thing where I'll take it to Disneyland with me every time I go and just walk around with it like people do on Rodeo Drive with their like Louis Vuitton bag from 6 years ago.
You're like, what, this old thing? What?
Yeah, I just bought this. I just shopped. No, I'm so grateful for the opportunity. I really didn't think it was something I would ever get to do. And I'm so thankful to Danny for inviting me. He had a space open up and he was like, would you like to go? And I sort of looked at him for a second and I was like, oh wait, I have to say yes, right? I have to actually say it because I sort of assumed that it was a yes. So yeah, if you ever get invited to Club 33, do not turn it down. Yeah. Don't turn it down. Whatever you thought you had planned, cancel it. This is better. So, and then I went to see Haunted Mansion right after that, which was another bucket list of mine with the overlay. I got to hang out with all of you. And then I went back and collapsed in my bed.
Yeah, I had to go back and pack right after that.
Yeah.
So the only thing we really haven't talked about is Downtown Disney.
Which is still called Downtown Disney in California. Yay.
Yes.
Yeah, I barely did Downtown Disney. We also haven't talked about Oogie Boogie, which I'm happy to talk about because I did that too.
We should probably, we're running out of time, so we might need to do another show on that. Because it's a special event. So,
Sounds good.
Downtown Disney, it's shops and restaurants.
Yeah, but it used to be, I mean, even when it first started, though, it was all bars. It was like the adult playground. It's now just a shopping area.
Yeah.
I think they've changed that just because they didn't want it to become a downtown area, like a literal downtown area. And there is, I mean, there's a new brewery. Well, not, it's new to Disney. It's not a new brewery. Ballast Point is there. There's two Italian restaurants, a Mediterranean restaurant.
I went to Jack Brennan's New Orleans Creole Kitchen.
Yeah, New Orleans Kitchen. How was that?
Very good. Very good. The cocktails were fantastic. They had a decent beer selection. It was just me. I walked in there and I sat at the bar and the calamari was super fresh. Ooh, I was amazed at how good it was.
Nice.
Yep. So highly recommend it.
I will mention is that it was Gay Days when we first got there and California, that's actually an official thing. Like, they actually decorate the parks and they sell really expensive, overpriced pride stuff. So if you want to spend $30 for a drink tumbler, have at it. You can.
When I was there, I got a pride tumbler when I was at Disney World. I don't think it was 30. I think it was 20 or 25. But it was
30.
Yeah.
But they had the big Mickey Mouse head out at Disney's. The reason I thought of it is Downtown Disney, they had it decorated a little bit more for pride as well. So I didn't do I ate at one of the Italian restaurants and I ate at Catal, which is sort of the Spanish restaurant. Very good. And then I had a drink at the Uva Bar. It closed early though. It was like their last call was at like 10.
So. We went to the Uva Bar, we ate and it was good. Okay. It was really good. I had a roasted beet salad. I can't remember.
I think it's part of the Catal restaurant. So I think it's the same menu, although I didn't look at the menu to confirm that. But
we sat inside because it was like, I didn't want the sun beaming down on me.
Was it lunch?
I was grumpy. No, it was right before we did Oogie Boogie. So it was, it was about 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock.
Okay. Like I only went there in the evening. So. And that's the thing too, whether you're at Paradise Pier, the Disneyland Hotel or Grand Californian, it's all within walking distance. You can stumble back. So.
So when we left California Adventure after World of Color, there's a walkway to Paradise Pier and we took that. That's the way we went out. And you basically come out right in front of Grand Californian and Paradise Pier is right across the street, but Disneyland Hotel is right there in that same parking lot too. So it's very easy. And we skipped Downtown Disney because of that. So it was nice and really easy.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Nice.
So I would say, let's just say if you're a Disney, whether you're a Disney fan or not, if you've been to Walt Disney World, should you go to Disneyland? Donna?
Yes.
Of course. You should definitely go. If you're a big Disney fan, yes. But honestly, if you're like a fair weather Disney fan, I think you might be a little disappointed because there isn't as much to do as Disney World. But okay. The other thing is you also have to look at where you are in the country. If you're really close to Disneyland, go to Disneyland. If you're close to Disney World, go to Disney World. So
I think Santa and I respectfully disagree.
Yeah, my answer is yeah, you absolutely need to go and you need to spend 3 days there. And you need park hoppers and you're probably going to want Genie Plus. And
Yeah. And I do think it's easier. If you have any physical challenges, I just really feel like Disneyland is easier. And the rides are different. So if you feel like you've done Pirates 800 times and you don't need to do Pirates again, you're wrong. You need to do it again at Disneyland.
You need to do Small World.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, all of them. Yeah, we're going to do an episode about this, but yeah.
Yeah. If you're skeptical about Small World, first of all, the one at Disneyland is the original Creepy Clock. World's Fair one, but also the characters are hidden in this one. So you can actually, if you think the dolls are creepy, you can count all the characters and try to spot them all in all the different countries. So
I think I got pictures of all of them.
There's like 45. I doubt you did.
Yeah, that was the internet. Yeah, because
I've never seen all 45 of them.
Like Woody and Buzz Lightyear and I'd never seen that in.
Well, now I'm going to go Google this because I thought I saw them all.
I honestly, we looked and looked and we counted, I think, 30, but I think there's like 45. I could be making that up too. I like to make things up. So, all right. Well, I think that is our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Donna, Sandy, and myself, Elizabeth, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.